Okay, we're on Beis Amid Beis, a little bit past midway. The Mishnah was discussing. The Mishnah said like this: Dini Mominus, monetary things you need three. Gzeilus and Chavilus, you need three. And then it says, Sigmar asks, what does that exclude? So the bottom line, the Gemara explained, it excludes Hidos and Alvois. Admissions and loans. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? What does it exclude? Okay? That's what the Gemara is asking now. So Gemara says, Olamai, what does that exclude? Ilema, these few lines we learned, but it's needed for the next piece. Ilema, Dleibin and Shleisha, if you're going to tell me that Gzelis and Chavilis and Dinemom, that all needs three, and this doesn't, it can't be. Rababu says that two people that judged monetary cases, the divri hakel and dinam din, it's not a proper verdict. We'll soon see it necessarily, it's not halacha, but Rababu says, the Gemara thought, okay, what's the Mishnah telling us? Hidos and alvos, loans and admissions need two, not three. So Gemara says it can't be because Rabbi Abu says it's not a good ruling if it's only two. Ella, so Gemara answers, the lebi'in and mumchim. What it means is you don't need ordained judges. We learned already in the past like this. There are dayanim that you can make any yukal as a dayan. But certain dinim need what's called smuchim or mumchim. Mumchim means they were ordained from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way down with a special smichim. So Gemara says like this, Gzeilus and Chavilus, all that needs mumchim, what's called ordained smuchim. But the Mishnah is excluding Haidos and Alvos don't. Okay, that's what where we're up to now. Now I have to explain this, what's coming up now as follows. In Parshas Mishpatim, when the Torah speaks about a lot of these types of laws of judiciary system, there's the din of a shomrim, of a shomer. Okay, I watch something for you. So let's say I don't get paid. I'm called a shomer chinam. If it was stolen or lost, I come to Beis Din, the shomer. Okay, if it was stolen or lost, I was not negligent. Somebody broke into my house, stole the thing. So it says that if you were not negligent and was stolen or lost, he's potter. But he has to come to Beis Din and swear that that's what happened. Okay? If it's a shomer socher, a guy was paid to guard it, so then if it was stolen or lost, he has to pay. But if an accident, then like the cow just died, so again, he's potter, but he has to come to Beis Din and swear that that's what happened. And then he's potter from, it's one of the three biblical oaths. Okay, there's three times a person swears biblically. Number one, by shomrim, like we just said, by the guards. They have to swear a biblical oath. The next is, which is coming up, what you're going to see in the Gemara, is called Meida B'Mixis. Meida B'Mixis means that if I say to you, you owe me $100. There's no witness. I say, you owe me $100. And you say, no, I only owe you 50. So you admit half. Doesn't have to be half, but not the whole thing. So then is, because there's no witnesses, you have to pay the 50, because that you admitted. And the other 50, you need to swear that I don't. That you don't owe me the money. Okay, that's two another...
Swears?
What?
Two swears?
No.
No, he pays.
No.
The other one, he swears.
You don't swear and take. Rarely. There are certain cases in the Gemara. As a rule, you swear to get out of paying. Okay? There are certain cases where you swear with the other guy can't swear. Like, for instance, what happens if I lend you, I lend you $100, you say, no, you only lent me 50. And you're a known liar, thief, crook, who doesn't have a problem swearing falsely. So Beis Din won't let you swear, because they don't trust you. So what do I do then? Then I swear, because that's a unique situation, because you can't swear, then I swear and I take. But as a rule, you can only swear to get out of payment. Okay, 1 second. So there's a meida b'miksus. Let's not get off. Meida b'miksus is I say you owe me $100. You owe me $100. You admit 50. So the Torah says, and we'll soon see how we learn it out, that you have to pay me the 50 because that you admitted, and the other 50 you have to swear that you don't owe it to me, and then you're off the hook. That's the second biblical oath. The third biblical oath is by the same topic, so to speak. I say you owe me $100. You say I don't owe you a thing. And I have one witness that says you do. Now, one witness cannot extract money. Two witnesses can extract money. If I say you owe me $100 and you deny it, and I bring two kosher witnesses that you owe me the $100, then you owe me the money. Because two witnesses extract money. One witness does not extract money, the Torah says. Okay? What does it accomplish? That you have to swear against the witness, and if you swear against the witness, you believe that you don't owe me the money. So if I say you owe me $100, and I bring one witness that you do, and you say, no, I don't, you come to Bezdin makes you swear against the witness, that means you have to swear that I don't owe you the money, and then you're off the hook. Okay, so these are the three biblical oaths. Shomer, Meida B'miksas, and Ed Echad. These are the only three times you have a biblical oath. Now, where do we learn this out from? So, there's a pasuk that says, by a shomer, we just have to get the thing straight, and then we can learn the Gemara very easily. By a shomer, the Torah says, he says, ki hu zeh, that's what he says, ki hu zeh, asher shalei shalach yadam lachas re'ehu, and the Gemara learns out, we couldn't get how, but ki hu zeh teaches us, meida b'miksas es chayef. A shvua. Where does it say that pasuk? Not by loans, by the din of a shomer. By the din of a shomer, the Torah says kihuza. So many opinions in the Gemara say that pasuk doesn't make sense by a shomer. Okay, I give you a cow. Wouldn't you admit that you gave me half a cow? I mean, it doesn't work. So therefore they learn that pasuk, even though it's written by shomer, doesn't apply to shomrim, it applies to meida b'miksas. And the Torah does that many times. The Torah writes a pasuk here, but it doesn't make sense here, it doesn't apply here, so we apply it somewhere else. Okay?
Well, if you lend a guy 10 diamonds and you admit that he lent you 5 diamonds, works. I mean, or if you're
Shomer. Yeah, but the Torah is speaking about animals. You're right, then it would work, and then he might also be made of mixes. But he has to swear anyway of the Shomer. So, now the question is, you have a parsha called Shomerim, and you have a parsha called loans. So the question is, are we mixing the parshias together? This is called Erev Parshias. Are we mixing them together? If we mix them together, that means the din of Meida B'miksas, even though it's written by Shomer, applies to loans. Okay? That's what the basic was going on over here. So the Gemara says like this. Rababu says, okay, 2b2, Beis Amid Beis, 8 lines to the bottom of the page.
How did they swear? Is there a formula how to swear?
They came to Beis Din. They dimmed the lights. They made it spooky. The person swore on a Sefer Torah. And He swore on a Sefer Torah, and they gave him an introductory speech. That when God said, don't say my name in vain, in the Ten Commandments, the whole world shook. And how bad it is to say God's name in vain, because when you swear with Hashem's name. And they give you the scare treatment of what's going to happen to you if you swear falsely. This is a biblical oath. And then you would swear in front of the Beis Din with the God's name, holding on to a Sefer Torah. Not like today, everybody swear. That was the real sure. This is a bunch of liars.
You should have a few lashes so he wakes up.
Okay, anyway. So Gemara says like this. Michael Sava, what does our Tana hold? Because our Tana seems to hold that for halvas and heidos, for admissions and loans, you don't need three experts. Right? You just need any three yokels. So Gemara says, E kosav if he holds. E of parshis kosav kan, if you're saying it's written, that this is, that he holds, that it's all mixed up. Shaminim and heidos, liboy nami mumchen. Then you should need experts also. Why? Because by shaminim, the Torah says, v'nikrev balabayis elo alikim, and alikim is expert judges. So he says, if you tell me we learn out made the mixes, halvos, admissions, from the din of shaminim, that we have to, because if we're mixing together the shaminim and made the mixes dinim, so then it would need mumchim also. Because by shaminim, the Torah says you need balabais elo alikim, and alikim refers to expert judges. V'ika savat, any of pashis kosev kan, and if you hold, there's no connection between, that means we're separating shaminim and loans, as it's two separate pashas, and one has nothing to do with the next. Shalashleim shalay shalamali. Why do we need three? We learn out three from shaminim. So Gemara says like this, if you're comparing guards, shaminim, to loans, then you would need mumchim, because guards need mumchim. If we're not comparing them, then why do you need three? Because the whole reason we learn out three is from shaminim.
There's no other place.
No, no other place. Torah says three, only shaminim.
Or dinenafashua.
There's not dinenafashua. Dinenafashua, you need 23. Remember the Mishnah said, dinenafashua, shavto eidah, vitzilo eidah, okay. So Gemara says like this.
Just saying, like, for a wedding, why is there, why aren't the witnesses, why isn't that biblical?
You don't swear at a wedding. Maybe under your breath you swear, but not...
Witnesses,
you have two witnesses. We're not talking about three as a judge, Bezdin, not witnesses. Witnesses are two. So my answer is like this. Leilam kosavar, ir of parshis kosav kan. Really, we do mix up the parshis. That means, the dinim of shamanim, we apply to loans, and loans we apply to shamanim, because we're mixing the two together. Ah, you said, then why, you shouldn't even need three. I mean, then you should need experts. Then you should need experts, because if we're liking it, the guards have experts, judges. So then this should also be. So he says, really, we would need expert judges by loans and that stuff. Why does the Torah not say you need experts? That's rabbinic. Mishum Rab Chanina said the following. Rab Chanina, Dvar Torah, biblically, Echadin imamines ve'echadin inafashis. Whether it's monetary cases or capital punishment cases, bedrisha v'chikira, you need to do the checking out of the witnesses. You know, asking them point blank questions: what day, what year, what year, where did it happen, and everything. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Shenema, because the Torah says mishpat echad yelochem. There's one law, meaning there's one law for capital punishments and one law for monetary issues. Umatam amru dinim amenus lebein and drisha v'chikira. And therefore, but why did the Chacham say you don't? Kadesh leitin odelis b'fnei lovin. Not to close the door in the face of borrowers. This is a very important concept, very simple. There are certain things in monetary laws that the Torah gave the rabbis jurisdiction over to change a biblical law in monetary issues. Okay?
Explicitly?
One second. It says like this. Basically, there shouldn't be any difference between capital punishments and monetary laws, because the Torah doesn't differentiate. Now, which would mean, the Torah says by witnesses, v'darashta, v'chakarta, you have to do drisha chikira. Drisha is the seven questions you have to ask them. What day of the week, what day of the month, what sabbatical, a whole bunch of things. If the witnesses don't agree, then you cancel the whole thing. In other words, you make the witnesses crazy in their investigation, the way Besdin checks the witnesses out to make sure the testimony is proper.
One by one.
One by one. Yeah, if not, they'll lie together. You call them one witness, you check them out, you ask them all these crazy questions, then you ask the second, okay, because then you see if they're saying the same thing or not. So the truth is, monetary laws would need the same thing. But the rabbi said, it's not going to work. Who's going to want to borrow money? Who's going to want to be a witness to testify in court if they're going to make them crazy?
Well,
Who's going to be interested in that? Okay? So the Chachamim said, yes, we know biblically you need Drishu Chakira, you need all this investigation of the witnesses and making them crazy and everything. But the Chachamim said, you know, we got to think about people's benefit. If you make their life so complicated, who's going to want to lend money to somebody? Right? So he says, that's why you don't need expert judges. Really, you would need expert judges, because we are mixing the parashiyos together. And therefore, you need three, because here it says Elokim, and really, the Gemara said, then you should need mumchim. If we're likening the two parashiyos together, then you should need ordained judges. So Gemara says, you're right, biblically you would. And the Gemara is going to say a bunch of more cases that rabbis changed the halacha. Why did they change it? Because if you're going to make it like that, nobody's going to want to lend anybody money.
How could the Rabbanim come and just do away with biblical stuff? How they can only add, they can't take away.
No. In monetary laws, they're given the jurisdiction. Because it didn't have bezdin hefker. Shaila is in the halacha, what type of bezdin? Bezdin has a right to come to you and say your property doesn't belong to you anymore.
Just like that?
Just like that. Well, if we think they should get that because they're bored. I mean, obviously, if there's a reason, Bezdin has a right to say, Hefke Bezdin, Hefke, your property doesn't... The Torah gave them the jurisdiction. The Torah gave, in monetary laws, the jurisdiction to Bezdin. And we're going to see more cases. The Gemara is going to say a whole bunch of more cases that the Chachamim changed the biblical law for the benefit of people. Okay, I'll give the whole concept of prusbul. See, the conservative used that as a proof that you could change laws. But there's such illiteracy, amiratzis, and, you know. The Torah says, when Shemitah comes, the loans fall off. Correct? So the Torah says you shouldn't be evil and you shouldn't be wicked and say, okay, Shemitah's coming, I'm not going to lend you the money because I'm not going to get it back. Okay, the Torah says, but the Besdin saw in the days of Hillel, the original Hillel, that people were not lending money. Not lending money means no business, people needed to borrow money. I mean, that's what makes the world go round. So Hillel made a takana. He made what's called Peruzbal. Was prosbul. He said, the Torah says only private loans are not collectible. But if you give over your loans to Besdin, so then it is collectible. It's only Bisman Hazeh, by the way, because Shemitah is only rabbinic because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So Hillel said, you know what? Before Shemitah, you write over your loans to Besdin. So if you owe me money, I write the loans that... the debts, all the debts that people owe me, I write it over to Besdin, and then you're able to collect. How did you change your biblical law? It wasn't changing biblical law. You found a loophole within the halacha, because otherwise people were not lending money.
Isn't it changed the rabbinic law, though?
Yeah, but in monetary issue, because that's a din in Shemitah that you're not allowed to collect. It's not that's a din in Shemitah. Okay.
Same with Hefteriska, no?
Hefteriska is the same thing. But here the Gemara is saying that what is our Mishnah excluding? That Gzeilis and Chavilis and all that, they need expert judges that are ordained. What is it excluding? The Gemara says, Heidos Valvois, loans and those type of admissions, monetary loans. Yeah? So the Gemara says, but you need three. So what does it exclude? That you don't need ordained rabbis. Unlike Gzeilis and Chavilis, where you need stealing and body damages, you need expert judges. Ordained, here you don't. So Gemara says, but if we're liking it, then you would... So Gemara says, you're right, really we should have ordained. Just like you need Drisha Chkira, and the Chum said no. The same thing over here, when because the Chum said, is going to hurt the system, and therefore the Chum say, you don't need expert judge. Why? Because I'm not going to want to lend you, Rashi says, I'm not going to want to lend you money if it's going to be such a hassle for me. I'm going to find ordained judges. Like this, you pick any three yokels. Ordained judges, you have to find the people. It's not easy to find such people. Right? So it says, I'm going to lend you money if I know I'm going to have such a hassle that if you're going to deny the loan, I'm going to have to get expert judges. I'm not interested. Why should I lend you the money and go through the hassle? So Chacham said, you know what? You're right. We're going to make your life easy. You don't need ordained judges. Then the Gemara says, Elameyata tolo yishalmu. Then if the judges, the non-ordained judges, made a mistake, then they shouldn't have to pay. This is another interesting halacha. What happens if a judge makes a case and makes a mistake in a ruling?
Mistrial.
The judge has to pay.
The judge, the best, made a mistake.
The judge pays, no?
So, there's a whole simcha shemishpat, simcha fei about this. But here the Gemara is saying, expert judges don't have to pay. Non-expert judges do have to pay.
So who wants to be a non-expert?
1 minute. Judge? 1 minute. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute. If that's the case, then the non-expert judges shouldn't have to pay either. If you want to make life easier,
yeah.
Right? If I'm going to have to get ordained, so I'll never get judges to sit. If they have to pay, who's going to want to sit? So Gemara says, if so, then they should not. And with the halacha that they do have to pay if they made a mistake. So Gemara says, on the contrary, koshkin out to the elders of Nedelin. But if you're not going to have, okay, then lenders for sure are not going to lend money. If the non-expert judges are not going to have to pay, why should I lend you money? Because if they rule wrong, they're not going to have to pay me. I'm going to lose.
The ruling is ruling. How do they know it's wrong or right?
No, because there's a whole section. I mean, sometimes they made a mistake of a clear-cut halacha. Sometimes they made a mistake, what's called shikol hadas. They evaluated wrong. I'll give you another example that's nothing to do with this. Don't forget, nowadays, okay, it's no big deal. But years ago, you shechted a behema. It was a month's salary, 2 months' salary, right? They shechted a behema, and you have to... Now, you come to the Rav, there's a question on the animal. And the Rav rules the animal's treif. And then, okay, so it's treif. So you give it away to goyim or to add dogs or whatever. Then you find out that I've made a mistake. It was kosher. Could have bought $1,000, let's say, in those days. You know? Does the Rav have to pay or not? He made a mistake. He caused him a damage of money. You have such cases. Or you could have a judge made a mistake. They didn't know a certain ruling. Or they didn't understand it properly. And a bigger best and said, you made a mistake. It could happen. That's why you have an appellate system in America, even in the Havdal in America. What's an appeal? If they go against the original judgment, it means they made a mistake.
Oh, so you can make appeals then?
No, in Torah you can't have appeals. But you can do something better than Agadol, or you can prove to the best then that they made a mistake.
Can the Beidin from the rod of the bad, they say, you know, we may make a mistake, we are not going to pay. If you make a mistake...
That's why nowadays they make up they make it close to compromise, close to the... Once it's a compromise, it's no mistake in a compromise. Okay, anyway.
What's the difference between the Drisha and Chakira? Is there a difference between the two?
Yeah, Chakira is general questions.
Investigation.
And Drisha pointed which month, which day, what, you know.
We say, listen, expert judges, when we annul vows, you have to have expert judges then, or not?
When was the last time you saw the expert judges anywhere?
No, I'm saying, but... When you say that,
it's just to make him feel good.
Rabbi, can the Rabbanim do, besides for monetary laws, can they do anywhere else, take away biblical laws?
No. Just yeah, they could. Sheval Tad. Rosh Hashanah falls on the Shabbos. Yesh Kerech Biyat Chacham, but only Sheval Tase. They can't say Eat Chazer. They could say, don't do a positive mitzvah. But they don't do what you think Bezdin. I mean, what do you think? They just, okay, your money is not yours, your money is not yours. What are they? They're bored. They don't do that. In times of need. I mean, there's a lot of Gemaras about Hefke, Bezdin, Hefke. When a Bezdin become, okay. Some people say it has to be only a very big Bezdin. Okay. Yehoche, the Gemara says like this. If that's the case, so the Gemara's conclusion so far of the Mishnah was, certain cases need three and expert judges ordained, and haidas and avos, loans and admissions, need three but not expert judges. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, tarti ktani, Rababu, the way he explains the Mishnah says like this: Dine Mamun is Bishleisha Yetis, Gzeilis Chavilis Bishleisha Mumchim. Then it should have said like this. He could have explained Dine Mamun is need three, not Mumchim. Gzeilis Chavilis Bishleisha Mumchim. According to him, why does it say 3-3? Why is it this needs 3 and this needs 3? Obviously, say, both need 3, one needs experts, one doesn't. The lashon of the Mishnah doesn't imply what he's explaining. So Gemara says, Allah Amar Rav Rav said like this, Tarti Ktani Taki, the Mishnah says two separate cases, because of Rav Chanina. Okay, what does it mean, Rav Chanina? That both cases, he's saying, one second, both cases, in other words, monetary cases need not mumchim, the hoidos and alvoros. Why? Both cases are to teach us the din of Rav Chanina, that the chachamim uprooted the biblical law to make it life easier for the people to lend money.
But he only did it on one of them, not both. He only nullified one, only case of...
Yeah, that's why he says two cases. In other words, he says like this. Biblically, you need three and experts. Therefore, by stealing, by bodily injury, we're not afraid... people are not going to beat somebody up. So over there you need expert judges. The Mishnah says, but the second case, we're telling you that even though you need three like the biblical case, but you don't need experts like Rav Chanina says. So the Mishnah is saying in two different cases to teach me Rav Chanina's din. That really everything needs three and everything needs ordained rabbis. Mumchim. Why does Hidos not... Because we're makel that you shouldn't have to have expert judges. People should be able to lend money. Okay, then. What?
Why is it considered so important to be able to lend money?
Because otherwise you have no business in the world.
No banks.
If you don't lend people money, how are they going to make business?
There were no banks then.
Okay, now. Rav Acha b'nei Raviki Omar, Rav Acha b'nei Raviki says like this, Midereisa, biblically, chad nami kosher. Even one dayan is enough. He says you don't even need three. Why? Shenemer b'tzedek tishpit amisecha, tishpit, with righteousness, with judgment, justice, you should judge your fellow. And it says singular. It says tishpit, doesn't say tishpitu. Tishpit means a singular judge. He says, so why did the Chachamim say three? Elam Mishum Yeshvi Koronis. Because Yeshvi Koronis means, in the Gemara you have this many times, it says the people that hang around the corners doing nothing.
Nothing has changed.
Or to use modern day language, you go in front of a hardware store, the paint store, there's a lot of people hanging around looking for jobs. Okay, they're called Yeshvi Koronis. Kronis are corners. Yeshvi Kronis mean guys that sit in the corners. Okay? Those were the most accessible people to find as judges. Okay? So the Gemara says, because if you have any three yokels, they're yokels. And you got three. So the Gemara says, can you imagine if one of them is picked as the judge? The guy's a yokel. He's not going to know anything. So hopefully, if you have three yokels, one of them at least knows a little bit. That was the... The Gemara says, so Rav Acha says like this, Midereisa chadnami kosher. One witness biblically is enough because it says, B'tzadik tishpet amisecha singular. Elo, why did a chacham say three? Mishim yesh v'karanis. Okay? Because they're a bunch of yokels. So if you have one judge who's going to judge, you have a yokel. So the Gemara says right away, Adol b'tlosim ilaviyashep. So three are three yokels. So what do they know? What's the difference between one and three? If they're yokels, what's the difference of one yokel or three yokels? They're all yokels. So Mara says, no. Ali Efshed the less Buchadgama, because at least one has to be a little bit knowledgeable. The Gemara says, you can't have everybody ignorant. Even the Yeshvei Kronis. It's like the jury system in America.
But God wanted that.
You judge, you judge by your peers. I used to give a class downtown for judges in the court building, judges and lawyers, many years ago. So I once asked them, off the record, how does this work? The 12 people on the jury are not necessarily intelligent people, not necessarily learned people. He says, I said to them, how does that work? I mean, they're judging people. He says, I don't know, but it works. Because you have 12 people. Some of them are usually intelligent. Not too intelligent, because the lawyers don't like intelligent people on the jury. But it works somehow. So you see, you can have 12 yukels, and somehow it works. So the Gemara says, if 3 yukels, somehow it works. But if you have 1 yukel, it's not going to work.
Rabbi, it said 3 Elohims in the pasuk. How come? Huh? The pasuk says...
You're right, that's Elohim. Why you need mumcha, but the Chacham said you don't.
Now we are going down to 1 from 3?
Because he brings a pasuk, Tzedek Tishpet Amisecha.
So which one is correct? The 3 Elohim or 1?
You can have a Bez Din. What does it say Elohim is 3?
The 3 times it mentions in the pasuk.
So? That doesn't mean that it has to be 3?
Maybe it's just 3 different things.
Whatever. So that's the machlokes. The opinion before said biblically you need 3, and here it says biblically you need 1. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, elameyata tolo yishalmu. If one of the 3 yukels is not such a yukel, so then why do they pay if they made a mistake? They shouldn't pay. So the Gemara says, koshikin, for sure, because by exempting them from not paying, okay, then you're going to have a lot more ignorant judges. A person who's ignorant is not going to want to sit on a case as a judge if he knows he has to pay if he makes a mistake. But if you tell him you don't have to pay, of course you're going to have a lot of yokels. They have nothing else to do a whole day. Yeshua can only mean that Bosh have nothing to do a whole day. So, the Gemara says like this, Yeshua can is, we have to pay if they make a mistake. That's why nobody from the yokels is going to accept it unless they have a little bit of an understanding.
But if they have an understanding, why would they want to put themselves in such a situation? It can only hurt them. They can't benefit from this situation.
Why would I want to... Let me ask you a question. Why would I want to lend you money? What do I gain by it?
Interest.
No, interest is not allowed.
Sharing.
No, I'm serious, really.
Sharing profit.
Mitzvah. Listen, when I lend you money, all I have to do is lose by it. You're not going to pay me back interest. It's going to turn without head tennis because it's just... Hello, hello, right? You're not going to pay me interest. You might not pay me back. Right? What am I gaining by it? Huh? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be a tzaddik tishpet amisar. Shulchan Aruch says the judge shouldn't come along and say, what do I need this hassle for? Because in any case, either both sides hate you, or one side for sure is going to hate you. Correct?
Yeah.
Why in the world do you need it?
Why are the Yoshua getting the money if they make a mistake?
The answer is because it is the right thing to do. It's a mitzvah. It's the right thing to do. You know,
but they could also get
civil obligations.
The judges could get paid for their time, no?
They don't get paid.
You can say for your time.
It's chabatola, but they get paid.
That's why they have to come from the corners.
Because it's job anyway.
Okay. So the Gemara says like this. What's the difference between Rava and Ravacha? Basically, both see that you need 3. The only question is it because of Rav Chanina, or is it not because of Rav Chanina? So Gemara says the difference is like this. Shmuel said, Shnayim Shadonu, when it comes to loans, Shmuel says 2 people that judged Dineim Din. He argues in Rababu. Rababu said before, 2 people that judge a case, remember, it's not good. Shmuel argues, and Shmuel said, 2 people that judge a case is Dineim Din, it's proper judgment, but Nikru Bezdin Chotzev, it's called a Chutzpah Dika Bezdin. In other words, Rababu just said, we learned today, Rababu said on the other page, that two people that judge a case, it's not a valid judgment. Shanaim Shadonu, Ein Din, Eim Din. That's what he said before. Shmuel says, no, it's judgment is judgment, but it's a chutzpidika court for judging only with two. So Rava, lastly, the Shmuel. Rava holds, it's not... So Rava says, biblically, you need three. If they both agree, obviously then it's not going to work. But he says like this, Rava doesn't hold a Shmuel, that even after the fact it's not a good case. And he holds it is, because he holds biblically one's enough. Rav Ach holds biblically one's enough. Chacham said three to make life easier, right? Because the issue comes. But bottom line, if two judged, you can't say it's no good. It has to be good. Rava, though, said that the Chacham said that Rava said, according to Rav Chanina, Shleitin al Delis, okay? And therefore, you do need three. Not Mumchen, but you need three. Therefore, if two judged, then we're not going to accept the judgment. Rava said before, like Rav Chanina, that really biblically you need three. And biblically you need experts. Right? Why don't you need experts? They're chamur lenient. But biblically, how many do you need? Three. Shmuel says, no, two is good. So Rava is not going to agree with Shmuel's then. Rava is going to hold the grababu that if two people judged, it's not a good judgment. Because the Torah says you need three. And the Torah says you even need experts. But experts are chamur lenient because of the takana, the people are not going to lend money. So the Gemara says, the argument Rav and Rav Acha is really an argument of Shmuel or Rababu, who's right. Rav Acha agrees with Shmuel that really biblically one's enough, so if two make a judgment for sure it's good. Rav agrees with Rababu that two that judge are no good because the Torah says you need three.
Rabbi, can you have a Beit Din of four?
We never have an equal Beit Din.
So why do you only have two?
No.
Two, you start
the case. So what I'm going to say, what happens if four people sat on a case and they all agreed?
That's fine. But
so two is obviously the same din. It speaks to judge. Obviously, they ruled the same ruling. If they had different opinions, how can you, then you don't have a case?
But the chachila, you don't know where it's going
to
go.
If that's what I'm saying. That's why the chachila, you need three. According to one opinion, biblically you need three. Biblically you need three. Rav Acha holds biblically one's enough.
But you judge by one Yishvei Kranu. Isn't that dangerous? The Rav Acha Yehoko.
That's why Rav Acha says a chum hold you need three.
Well, but he also said that you can get by one.
No.
One different.
Biblically one's enough. The chum is saying no, one's not enough. Because of Yeshu Karanas. So I said, if Yeshu Karanas, what is three making it better? Because hopefully one's not as such a yoko. Only half yoko.
Who's selecting though, which one?
It depends. Both parties can. What do they do today? See, either you have a said Bezdin. Either you have a said Bezdin. Or we can go. You pick one, I pick one, and the two rabbis pick a third. It's called Zablo. It's also a big way today. That's done a lot today.
Out of Bezdin, or they have to be Munchen?
No, if once both parties accept it, it becomes accepted.
You don't have to be.
I have a dinner coming up that I have to do. This guy picked me, a guy picked another person, another Rav, and the two of us picked a third Rav.
So you don't have to go to Beit Din?
That's the Beit Din.
Oh, that's constant Beit Din.
What do you mean, Beit Din is a building?
Yeah, that's where I found.
You still need three rabbis. You can't just go, I can't go up to random people.
Whoever you agree on.
If I can disqualify the guy you pick sometimes, really, though. It's hard to... If you want to pick a yoko, you can pick a yoko. You're pretty foolish for picking a yoko. He's not going to help you too much.
It could be your father, it could be...
No, that's a different story. You can't judge. Relative can't judge.
Other they can't be a witness, but they can judge.
The other guy can automatically disqualify it. If I have a case with you and you picked your father, are you crazy? I'm not accepting that. He's, of course, biased for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, even in Zabla, when I pick, if I have a case with you, yeah? I pick him, and you pick him, and the two of us pick him, yeah? That doesn't mean your Rav is going to definitely say, like, you agree.
But you get someone that you know.
Somebody you trust.
And they know you back is automatically biased.
No, it's not, because, in fact, there's an argument in Halacha. If I pick you as a... Normally, you can't come to a judge, to Bezin before the case, one side, and tell him your side of the story. They automatically disqualifies the best. Okay? Because once you hear one side, you automatically become biased. Right? But there's a machlekes in Halacha. If I'm picking one, you're picking one, and the two pick a third, can I tell my guy that I picked my side of the story? So many poskim hold. No, Darach HaShulchan writes today, they do it. Many batidim do allow it today. Some don't, some do. So... Because officially he's representing me, and the third guy anyway is going to make the decision. I'm just saying, just because I picked this Rav, does not mean that he's definitely going to rule for me. They usually don't. The three make a ruling between themselves. That doesn't mean that I'm going to win, because my guy is going to... He's not necessarily... A lot of times I'm representing somebody, I'm one of the Beiridim, as it's called, and I don't rule right because he's wrong. I mean, what could I do? That doesn't mean it's automatically right. You pick a guy that you trust is honest and fair and will look out for your benefit. But if you're wrong, you're wrong.
The guy you pick is presenting your case?
No.
I am presenting my case.
You present your case.
Judge.
So there is two of them, and the third one that was picked, that would be the bad thing.
You pick me, he picks him, the two of us pick a third. That's the Besdin. Yeah, but we're not... You present the case to us. When you come to Besdin, even Zablo Besdin, yeah? So, you both sign the binding arbitration. Because then it's held up in court. Okay? Otherwise it's a joke. So you sign legal binding arbitration, by the way. And then, you present the case to the Besdin. Now, halachically, the plaintiff goes first. The Tavea. Because he's Tavea. You can't have the defense before you know what the claim is. So first the plaintiff says his side of the story. Then the defendant says his side of the story. And then there's back and forth. They have what he said and what he said. And he's lying. They're both lying. Everybody's lying. And that's the way the Besdin works.
Obviously, the Rav that you pick knows you and something about your life, so he could be some...
But again, he can't turn the halacha for you if it's not.
Right.
No, right.
If you owe the money, right, I can't say you don't.
But isn't it better to get someone who's unbiased completely, like doesn't even know?
That's the third guy. He's usually people that both of them agree to what they usually have to agree to it. What?
Going back and forth, this is very time consuming, so what about